Gary, and welcome to another episode of the 5 Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for the deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and with me as always, my son Carlos. Carlos, how are you?
I'm not too bad, how's yourself?
Tired, really, really tired. It's been a long, long few weeks. Getting to the run-up though to next week's UFC 254. This is the third fight so far in this kind of a fight island run. UFC Fight Night, Brian Ortega versus Korean Zombie. Quickly run through these preliminary fights. So we started the card with Saeed Nurmagomedov picking up the first round KO of Mark Striegel. Then we had a second round KO for Maxim Grishin against Antigulov in the lightweight division. That's a good win for Max Grishin, to be fair, in that division. Then we had a decision in the lightweight division where Fariz Zayam picked up the victory against Jamie Mullarkey. Going into the middleweights, got another decision with Park Ju-young getting the nod against John Phillips. The women's flyweight, another decision. Gillian Robertson picking up the win against Pollyanna Battaglia. And then we rounded off with a controversial decision, to be fair, in the lightweight division. And even Guram Kutaladze, after the fight, said he felt that Mateusz Gamrot got robbed of that decision, and he was not happy with his own performance, but also with the performance of the judges. But then going on to the main card, we started with the return of Thomas Almeida after nearly 2 years out of the game with injuries and stuff like that, coming up against Jonathan Martinez, who's been on a really good run of form in the UFC, and he continued that with a good decision victory. And this was as probably as one sided as a fight as you're going to get until we talk about the main event. It was just such great octagon control by Martinez. The shots he landed really hurt Almeida from pretty much the beginning, when he started landing the kicks to the leg, and you could see that the welt was happening straight away on Almeida's legs. It was just a great display from Martinez from round one all the way through to round three. He absolutely dominated the fight against Almeida. Really did well to control the octagon. Almeida's, we talk about ring rust, and we kind of go back to Dominic Cruz's comments about how it's not a thing, and I think it more often than not it gets proved that it is a thing, because Almeida has obviously been out for so long, and he felt almost gun shy in this fight. Not the Almeida that we normally like to see, who is very kind of aggressive with his shots. He just didn't seem to be in this fight at all. He survived getting knocked out, and the last round was probably his best round. He landed a few more shots, but Martinez is just the power he has in his weapons at bantamweight is just shocking. The way he's just is almost like a coiled spring, and when he snaps, you know about it. But yeah, he's a great victory for Martinez. Good decision. All the judges saw it exactly the same. Give all three rounds to Martinez, and Almeida only just come back and straight away needs to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, that's it. You can't blame the guy. He came in looking at Jonathan. He's not an easy fight, even though he's a young guy. He's not an easy fight for your first fight back, especially after a 2 year long layoff. Like you say, his aggression weren't there, and his timing, he just wasn't there, and he couldn't get the timing at Jonathan. And Jonathan, 4-1 in the UFC now, which says not a bad run for a young fighter. His game plan clearly worked. He stuck to his movement, listened to his coach really well, obviously only having one coach in his corners, which had little to no effect on him, which obviously we've seen other fighters with only one coach, and it's had a dramatic effect on their performance, having the coaches sort of being outnumbered. But tonight. Jonathan didn't matter to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the one good thing that that impressed me with his fart was the fact that he were able to still hit Thomas going backwards, not only just forwards. So mm-hmm. that was a skill in his arsenal, that him going on after this, people are going to have to look at it and go, oh, well, this guy is dangerous on the feet. He could knock me out going forward, but he can also catch me going backwards. So that's good for him, a good moving forward. So well done to him.
Yep. So then going from that fight, we enter the welterweight division. And James Krause versus Claudio Silva. And talk about one-sided decisions, and this again was very, very one-sided. Silva's kind of unorthodox, almost wild a way of attacking really was his undoing for me in this fight. He leaves his chin out way too much for me, and all the way through this fight, he's kind of like the way it was so easy to telegraph his shots, because he would take a step forward and leave his chin out, and then he'd have these wild arcing swings with his shots. And James Krause, pretty much over the course of three rounds, had a perfect counter punching game. He knew that shots were coming from Silva. He was able to get out of the way and land the shots on Silva's chin. Silva, to be fair, has a decent chin, because he took some big shots from Krause. But it was three rounds of Silva. It was almost like a bum fart from Silva, where he was just looking to land a wild shot, and he had no kind of technique behind it. It was really, really, it was jarring to see, because the fights we've seen Silva in before, he's never really acted this way. He's always been kind of like an unorthodox fighter, but not so kind of wild and like without any kind of technique. Krause did really well to not fall into that game plan of swinging wild. He was very efficient with his shots. He was able to land off a lot more combinations where Silva was looking for just the big hit. One thing I was really impressed with from Krause is he was really listening to his coaches, and there was a point in the second round where he didn't hear what his coaches said, so he shouted for him to say it again to make sure he got the coaching across. Really clever, especially a great use of this kind of a no fan era where you can get coached whilst in the fight. But yeah, going, I think Silva's third round was probably his best round. I still gave all three rounds to Krause. Yeah, it was just a very well played counter fighting fight for me from James Krause.
That's it. He deserved the victory. His game plan clearly worked. He's a coach now as well, isn't he? So not only has he got to go in there and his game plan to work, he's got to go in there with the confidence of it to work, for him to go back and teach his own students and going, this works, I've proved it works myself. Basically, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can tell Silva is a ground fighter. For me, he didn't sort of know or understand how to deal with basically the length of James and the height of James. And like you say, he was just mad, wild, swinging in hopes to just either catch him or one of them, or try and set him up for a takedown, which he never really got. He just got counter punch like he's in, and JD did the perfect gameplay. You were hit and move, and just not staying in one spot. Because that's all Silva could have really done, and that's all he was mm-hmm. basically waiting for, was waiting for James to basically just stand in one single spot. And James just knew from his fart level IQ, which we go back to all the time, and I say, him being a coach now, he knows the sort of stuff, what he's got to look out for, the dangers. And like you said, going back to when he said to his coach, can you repeat what you said? That's another added benefit of obviously not fighting in front of the crowds, because if he couldn't hear what his coach said then, imagine what farters miss, the coach is saying, when the arena's packed with 60,000-70,000 fans. So yeah, that's just shows really, not just high level, but also as well shows confidence that you're, because how many fighters who do you actually know who were actually like, oh, what did you say? What would help me out? A lot of fighters are arrogant.
Yeah.
Whereas he's clearly, even though he's been a fighter for years, he's a coach for fighters, he's still...
learning.
Yeah. He's still a good enough of a student to ask his coach what his coach basically told him to do. But again, good game plan for him. He played it, a lot of people might say he played it a boring way, but at the end of the day, he played it how he needed to play it to win the fight, and that's at his age and at this level of the game, that's what you need to do. So congratulations to him for the victory.
Yeah, so after that we go into a couple of our first round finishes. First one is in the lightweight division, Jimmy Crute and Modeskas Bukauskas. Bukauskas started off with a leg kick. Crute went for the takedown. Bukauskas attempted to defend it, but he ended up being pushed up against the cage, and that's where Crute is probably is his most dangerous. Landed a couple of knees to the leg, landed one to the cup. The ref ended up calling time out, which meant Crute lost that position. They didn't really stop for that long, and then the fight was back in the middle of the octagon. Crute landed a punch and a leg kick, and then Crute just carried on kind of punishing that leg. His shots were absolutely brutal. And then Bukauskas was trying to throw leg kicks of his own. Then Crute did his a combination. They landed quite a few times. I mean, this fight only went on for a couple of minutes, but he landed the leg kick overhand right combination quite a few times, and he lands it and this time, and it ended the fight basically. Bukauskas tried to like regain, got back to his feet whilst being clearly damaged by the shot, and ate another punch clean to the chin, which put him up against the cage. He wasn't fully cleaned out, but the ref knew that the lights were on, but there was nobody there. Stops the fight. Jimmy Crute wins, and the mad respect to the kid that he went and sat and put his arms around Modestus after the fight. Great victory for him, and another massive statement for Jimmy Crute.
Oh, so he's in there to make a statement. He's one of my, like you said last week, he's one of my favourite fighters. He's come in, he won his debut, took a loss, took it on the chin, went back to the gym like a man, licked his wounds and fixed what he needed to fix. And this version of Jimmy Crute is just better. He's more aggressive, he's more precise, his timing's on point, his skill set is getting better day in, day out. And then obviously, him getting the finish the way he did, earning the respect of Dana there, and then he even got a smile out of Chimaev. So that must say something, if you're getting a smile out of that guy. And then obviously his call out at the end. So he's not afraid to take that next step in his career.
Yeah, but what I really liked about the Krylov call out was he wasn't jumping way above his station. He wasn't going, oh yeah, I want top five, or what. He was like he knows that there's levels, and Krylov is the next step on.
Well, he knows he's got time. He knows he's one of these fighters who still knows that he's still got time to be a world champion. So what's the point in being the next Sage Northcote? What's the point in being that guy who's just going to get rushed to the top, and then before you know it, your confidence has just been shattered because you've picked up two or three losses in a row and you don't know how to get back on your winning ways. So it's a good thing for him that he's like you say, he's able to take the next step, but he knows not to jump too far ahead of himself. So tonight it just proved that his head is in the right position, everything that he's working on in the gym is working for him. And it just goes to show other fighters who obviously take a loss and dwell on it. At the end of the day, you can always turn that round. Jimmy Crew's done it. He took a loss, he's come back, he's a better fighter from this.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's going to be a future world champion. He's
definitely got that mad. I mean, he took the one loss he's got in the UFC and really learned from it, and he's come back as a better fighter.
Definitely.
So after that, we are going to the co-main event. Jessica Andrade going into the flyweight division, looking to be the first women in UFC history to have wins in three separate UFC weight classes. The start of this fight, I was just shocked at the difference in size between these two ladies. Jessica Andrade is obviously only 5'1", and Katlyn Chookagian is like 5'9", so she towered over Andrade, and you would have thought that Chookagian would be able to use that height and that reach advantage to keep Andrade at bay. We all know that Andrade is bit game, is picking people up, slamming them, and getting the fight to the ground. And Chookagian was in the perfect position to kind of thwart that, but she just wasn't able to. Andrade, just from pretty much the start of the fight, just dominated Chookagian. When they are able to go into the clinch, was able to drag Chookagian to the ground, was able to slam her when she wanted. Chookagian, obviously with that brown belt in jiu-jitsu, she attempted to go for a couple of arm bars and leg submissions and things like that, but just the tenacity of Andrade just won the fight for her. She obviously knew that she had to get in that gut, in that pocket, and was going to eat shots. She had a lot of knees when she was forcing Chookagian up against the cage, but she just had no fear, and it kind of like threw Chookagian off a game. And the end came pretty much when the klaxon for the 10 seconds at the end of the fight happened. Andrade landed a shot to the gut, and you could see it definitely hurt either the liver or the kidney, because Chookagian turned her back on her opponent to kind of run away. You could see her wincing and screaming in pain, and Andrade smelled blood. She went in. She wasn't kind of like overly eager. Well, it's hard to put into words, but she didn't bum rush in and throw a while. She was very, very clever with how she did it. She knew that Chookagian was going to defend a liver and a kidney, so she opened her up by hitting a couple of punches to the face, knowing that then Chookagian would have to defend that, and then landing the sweet kind of like hook to the gut. Chookagian went down. Ref stopped the fight. 5 seconds of the first round to go, and Jessica Andrade has entered a new division, took out the number one contender, and she has got to be in line for a Shevchenko fight, surely to God.
You can't not. One, you come into a new division, you've already been the champion of one division, and mm-hmm. you're the first female fighter to fight in over three weight classes.
And the first to win.
And the first to win. That's saying something. She's got to be next in line for the title shot. The one thing that surprised me with Caitlin is the fact is she didn't seem to care about letting Jessica get into guard as such and getting into clinch work. It's like she was just relying on her brown belt BJJ to just be so much better than hers mm-hmm. that she wouldn't have to worry about keeping her at distance, keeping her away. So it just looked like... My personal opinion, it just looked like she hasn't worked on that, because she's worked on just the bits of a stand up, probably more of a ground game, just in case if it does go to the ground, which you can tell she has with some of the setup she was trying to do. But Jessica was just a little bit more advanced to let herself go into silly positions and basically face the consequences of it. She's been champion before, so she knows what it takes and she knows what and what not to do. Obviously, taking out the account of when she got a face beating from Wei Li Zhang, that's obviously a totally different story. But she went in there, like you say, she, after the body shot, she just knew it were over. Once you scream in pain like that, and body shots are horrible, once you take the body shot, they are honestly one of the worst things you can take, probably, is just a clean body shot. And then it's one of them as well, like, it's so hard to hard. You can have as good of a game face as you want, once you take a good body shot, you're like, oh, fuck it, shit. You just can't hard it. So it's easy for a fighter like Jessica to just, oh, I've hurt you, right, well, I'm going to jump on you. But then, like you pointed out, how she wasn't reckless or careless of it. A couple of fights ago, this sort of Jessica probably would have been reckless with it. Mm-hmm. She probably just would have stormed in, probably ended up gassing herself out and punching herself out, trying to finish her. She knew that Caitlin would have protected her abdominal area. So what's the key thing to do is, well, you don't attack that area, you attack up top. If you attack up top, they're going to let them abdominal area free. So Jessica did that, like you said, one or two shots, and then perfect, bang, near enough a body uppercut. Mm-hmm. And then the fight were over, and there's your next title contender right there.
Yep, absolutely. I would not put it past Jessica to be a double champion. Well, not a double champion, but a champion in two divisions, because that Jessica was a smart, very measured fighter, and especially coming off like the kind of fights where she goes all in and kind of leaves herself open to attack. She was very, very intelligent.
Like I say, well, not just only that, the fact is she did it over someone who's he's a lot taller than her, mm-hmm. and he's got a much bigger reach advantage than her.
And has a very, very good, not only ground game, but striking game.
Exactly. It just gives you sort of confidence. Well, if I were Jessica, it sort of give me confidence going into that fight against Shevchenko, knowing that I've just been able to do that against rank number one in that division.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into the fact that this whole card was built around. You could have had literally bum fights all the way on the card, and this is the fact that meant something. The grudge match between Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega, and it just didn't come off how people thought it would. Brian Ortega picked up the decision victory. So, so dominant. What a great fight. I mean, we talk about Almeida taking time off and having ring rust. Brian Ortega had to take a lot of time off, and he had a lot of injuries to deal with. But he's come back a much more rounded fighter. Such a good,
relatively same amount of time off as well.
Such a good fighter. Obviously, we know Korean Zombie as someone who has only one direction. He goes forward and he goes on the attack. But Ortega just dominated every single round of this fight. His shots were crisp. His grappling was on form. And for someone whose kind of game is based around grappling, he did well to stand and bang with Korean Zombie. Just showing him he could beat him at his own game. Korean Zombie just didn't seem in this fight at all. He was gun-shy. He was very, very gun-shy. I think he was waiting for the opportunity to, like Dan Hardy said on the commentary, he's waiting for the opportunity for the perfect shot, and that shot didn't come. Now, Ortega didn't land the perfect shot, but he landed a hell of a lot of shots. He really damaged Ortega. He really damaged Korean Zombie. The best that Korean Zombie had, I felt, was in the second round. I felt he kind of turned up his game a little bit. But even then, it took one move from Ortega to win that round when he hit the Chris Jericho Judas effect and knocked Korean Zombie down. In the third, he just turned up the fire again, and Ortega was hitting body kicks, leg kicks, shots to the face. In the fourth round, we saw where he landed. It almost looked like a clash of heads, but then you could also see the shots to the face when Ortega rushed Korean Zombie to the cage. It busted Zombie open, and that was really distracting, and the ref called the doctor in to see if the fight could continue. The fight did continue. We got to the end of the fifth round, but this was as much of a dominant fight as you're going to see for a long time in the UFC. Ortega just absolutely... He tore Korean Zombie apart in ground game, in attacks. Just a great victory. And Ortega should surely be looking at this kind of fight against the champion Volkanovski.
Well, that's it. You probably couldn't argue the case, could you? Brian, you can't take it away from him. I'll give it to him as well. A lot of people were expecting him to come and just try and grapple, but I'll give it to him. He did not try and initiate the grappling, and when he did, it was only when Zombie sort of either got a bit weak or sloppy and messed up, and it was just an easy opportunity for Brian to take, which, like I said, in that sense, in this level of game, you've got to be sensible about this sort of stuff. If you can finish your fight by doing that, finish your fight, because it's only going to give you and make you look better, and only going to give you the opportunity to move on and advance to the next position. Unlike your opponent, who's then going to get knocked down back down the cherry tree picking. So, after the time off, after the surgery, after the loss to Max, has clearly made him a better fighter. Clearly, he's opened up his stand-up game. We already know that he was a good boxer anyway, but his head movement is more on point. You can tell his footwork. The fact is, he can not just get in and out, but he's not always... Once he's sort of out, he'll stay out a little bit before he goes back in. Whereas if you sort of seen with Max, he weren't really moving around a lot. And when he were, Max were cutting him off and getting the right angles. And he was just falling for the same stuff near enough for the full, four rounds. And in this fight, it was just totally different. He was the Max in this situation,
yep.
And Zombie was him. And like you say, Zombie were just gun-shy. He didn't... I said this fight could even go one or two ways. It could even be a boring little slap and dodge for five rounds, or it could be a slugfest. And it was one part a slugfest and one part...
Opposite fighters, yeah.
Yeah, opposite fighters, so... It was sort of like it's a miss where what's actually going to happen, and you can't blame Ortega for not trying to finish the fight. He was trying to finish the fight, and even Zombie, he was trying to finish on certain occasions. It's just like you said, he was gun-shy. He wasn't wanting to go forward, and I think it was something to do with like the mind games. It must have been like obviously Ortega coming out with the Mexican music and the Mexican flag, which I personally have never seen him do before. Now, if he's going back to Zombie's one of his last losses to Rodriguez, who's Mexican, and then beat him and has got a record for one of the latest stoppages with an elbow. Now, not only did he do that, I think it was in this, what, we're at second or third round, where he caught him with near enough the exact same elbow that... So that's somewhat...
Well, he caught him at the end of the fifth as well, like very near the end of the fight.
Yeah, so all that sort of shit adds up. It's going to be like, fuck, I've been knocked out by that. And it's just... He was just falling for the... He was falling for the same stuff, and he was not trying to fix anything there. And then, and especially when he was going back to his corner, like, obviously, I don't speak Korean, so I ain't got a fucking clue what they were saying, but... You can tell that when he was, first of all, when he were hurt, when he were gassed out, when he just needed to breathe. His coaches and his team were rubbing his arse, rubbing his back. I don't even know what they were saying, but you can tell that they were telling him technique or telling him what to do and what not to do, and it was just like, you need to back up a second. You need to just take a fucking step back and just say, zombie, breathe.
Yeah.
Just before you do, I'll just breathe. Just get your breath back, lad. Right, now go out there. Right, now get in. Right, now you're focused. Right, now let's try and change something up and win this fucking fight. And I think his coaches didn't help him. Every single time we were going back, and he was already a bit dazed from getting punched in face and getting elbowed in face. And when you've got one coach here and one coach there, and you've got a guy back here, and you've got a cut man there telling you, oh, it's pretty face it was, oh, can you just do this? And you just feel like telling you, oh, can you all fuck off? I'm in a fight. It does get to you. So I don't think his corner helped him out in that sense, but that's not taking anything away from Brian Ortega and his corner. They had a rivalry, and he came and said what he was going to do. He said he was going to embarrass him, and that's exactly what he did. He could have easily, at every single point, tried to initiate and take it to the ground, and he stayed on the feet, which, and I'm glad he did, because a lot of people were sort of pissing me off with the metaphor of, oh, if they go to the ground, he's just gonna fuck him up. If this stays on the feet, a zombie's just gonna fuck him up. And I knew that weren't the case, because, like I said, they were both equally matched. The first takedown Brian Ortega went to go for, got stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Proof there. Well, not as easy as you thought. And then obviously on the feet, who were the first ones to get dropped? Zombie.
I think it's easy to forget that these guys are elite level fighters, and you get to this kind of level, you need to be well rounded in all aspects of the game.
Exactly. You just tell how fickle some fans are, like how quickly people can forget exactly what people can do, and you can understand obviously the commentary don't help it, but obviously it's their job to harp up that these fighters and stuff like that. But you know yourself, Dan Arda in DC. Do not believe for one second that Zombie can't hang on the ground with Ortega, or Ortega can't hang on the feet with Zombie. You know that them two believe that them all day. Mm-hmm. They've just got to say this sort of stuff to harp them up, because Ortega's this black belt Gracie Jiu-Jitsu specialist who can tap anybody out. And then obviously Zombie's this Korean zombie who nobody can finish, who's an absolute zombie on the feet. Which, again, not the case, but had potential to be an amazing fight. Didn't really pull off that well, but congratulations to Brian. And what can you say? After that sort of performance, and with what's going on in the featherweight, what could he get a title shot off this? Or
well, I think
could he get a rematch?
No, I think Dana confirmed that this fight was a number one contender fight. So
fair enough then.
He's definitely got Volkanovski next. But that should be a good fight. But the reason why we're having this 4-week stint on Fight Island comes up next week. An early recording for us, we're quite happy about that. The prelims start at 3:30 in the afternoon here for us. We've got the very hyped Umar Nurmagomedov coming in, Khabib's cousin, for his UFC debut.
I think he looks like me when I shave my head.
A little bit, yeah.
One of my mates, Tom, he tagged me in a post and he put, I didn't know you fought for UFC. And I looked at him and I'm like, that's a double look, like, is that a picture of me? And I'm like, shit, no, it's his cousin.
Yeah, well, he making his debut, comes in at 12-0, I think, so there's a lot of hype behind him. Then on the recorded prelims, we've got one of Carlos's favourite fighters, Smiling Sam Alvey, against Young Dayun. Alex Oliveira against Shavkat Rakhmonov. Stefan Struve against Tartabaz is the feature prelim, and then the main card is just the fight. Ankalaev versus Kutu Laba, Cynthia Calvillo against Lauren Murphy, Alexander Volkov against Walt Harris, Robert Whittaker in the co-main event against Jared Cannonier. And then main fight, the fight that we've been looking forward to for so goddamn long, Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Justin Gaethje. Probably Khabib's hardest fight. People have kind of wrote off Gaethje as a just having a puncher's chance, but I don't think that's true. I think this could be a very, very hard day at the office for Khabib. So yeah, could check in next week to find out what we think about that. But yeah, follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby, follow Carlos here at Kirby_Carlos, follow Visionaries Global Media, The Chair Shot, and Shooting the Sports Ish. Thank you all for listening, and that is the end.
Adios amigos.